here that all of us can be in. Amen? So over the last several weeks, probably month and a half or so, Pastor Weldon started preaching on foundational scriptures, scriptures that founded this ministry here. And he talked about Galatians 6:10 that said, do good to all, but especially those in the household of faith. Foundational scripture that Shield of Faith was founded on. And then he also brought out scripture from John chapter 13, 34, and 35 that says that in this, you shall love your neighbors as I have loved you, and in this they will know that you are mine. And so do good and love, founded. This is the church you're in right now, founded on that, which I believe should mirror the life of Christ, right? Yes, sir. Then he also took us to 2 Corinthians, foundational scripture, chapter 5, verse 18, that says that we all have received a ministry of reconciling those who don't know Christ to Jesus Christ. So he laid out that each and every one of us here, if Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, wherever you are at, you are a minister. Amen? So minister in your workplace, minister in your home, minister in the play areas, wherever it may be. You are an ambassador of Christ, according to Scripture. You have a job to do as a Christian, and that is to be the light of Christ in the darkness of this world. Amen? Amen? Okay, and there's one more foundational scripture in there, and I can't remember what it was. 2 Timothy 2:2. I knew what it was, I just couldn't remember it. 2 Timothy 2:2, and that is to take what you have learned and then train those faithful men and women up in the same way so that they will take it and then carry it on to others. So those of you who've been here, you guys remember these? Yeah? All right. Foundational scriptures. Now, in the process of that, when I started coming here almost 12 years ago, there was something else that was very foundational for the ministry here. And that was the love that we had when people would walk through the doors. One thing they always said is, man, it was amazing. I just felt so much love from everybody in there. And I believe that still happens today. And so people feeling the love of Christ, not just being able to hide in the corner. Some of us like to hide, right? But kind of difficult here at Shield of Faith because we're reaching out, and we should be reaching out to one another. So this ministry has been known for the love that it has for others. But the other thing that this ministry has been known for is its warring mentality. So Pastor Weldon has set the stage many, many years ago that this would be a praying ministry, that this ministry would set aside time every single day to pray for our community, to pray for the body of Christ, to pray for other works, to pray for businesses, to pray for the sick and the downtrodden, whatever it is. But that prayer, guys, is warfare. And so this church has been founded on the scriptures of love and doing good and training, but also on the premise of there is a time to fight as well. And so today I want to bring it out in scripture on how this all plays out. Amen? I was talking to myself the other day in the shower, and that's where I receive a lot of revelations, man. It's just the warmth of the water and the quietness, and I'm by myself except for me and God, right? Or God and I. And in the process, there's somebody that's been heavy on my heart that I've been praying for. They're not part of the body here, okay, but they are a part of the body as a whole, the body of Christ. And I've been praying for them, and I've been seeking God, and I've been trying to really kind of figure out what it is or what avenue can I go. Do I change my prayer? Because I haven't seen any kind of breakthrough yet. And then I got real with God, and I was like, Lord, when do you just throw in the towel? When do you just give up? When do you stop praying for someone? When do you lose hope? When do you just let things work themselves out? Because you feel like you've kind of just been praying and, you know, with no result, just kind of wasting your wind, you know, because you're praying and you're praying and you're even wondering, does this individual even want breakthrough, you know? Do you understand what I'm saying? Am I fighting this battle for them and they're not even trying to fight? Come on. And I'm looking at all of this And there's a reality to that as well. But you know that we can move mountains with our prayer.
Yes, sir.
And so it came to me as clear as day as I'm asking him, Lord, when? When do I stop? When do I just give up feeling like I'm wasting my breath and time and effort of prayer for this individual? And he said, never. Never. You don't ever give up. You don't ever lose hope. You don't ever throw in the towel. You don't ever stop. You keep on going. And so I started to look at some scriptures in here. And so it takes me to 1 Corinthians 13, love and war. Okay, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through part of 8. This is what we call the love chapter, right? Those of you who've been studied in the Word, the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm reading out of Amplified today, which is King James and extra understanding in the Greek. It says, love endures long and is patient. You see, sometimes we, when we love somebody and we're praying for them because we love them, right? Right? It should be. We're praying for them because we love them. And it says that love endures long and it's patient. So that speaks to me because all of a sudden it's like, wait, why was I trying to give up why was I losing patience? Because the whole mindset behind praying for this individual was out of pure love. And God says, no, love is this way. It's kind. It's never envious nor boils over with jealousy. It's not boastful or vainglorious. It does not display itself haughty. It's not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It's not rude, unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. You know, you sit there and you'd be like, well, I'm just thinking that I'm praying for this person and it's not doing any good. Why do we even do this? Why am I even trying? Why am I trying to fight their battle when they're not showing any fruit that they're trying to win in their own?
Come on.
You know, before I came to Christ, I know that there were people praying for me. Matter of fact, one of them sitting in the front row here, my mother-in-law, Teresa. I know that she was praying that someday wake up. I married her daughter, and I was a heathen. I know you were praying. For love, it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to it, and it will suffer the wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice or unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Now, that kind of takes us to the warring aspect. We war because we want to rejoice when the righteous and the truth prevails over what we've been praying for. Amen?
Amen.
Love bears up under anything and everything that comes its way. It is ever ready to believe the best of every person. It hopes and is fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. You start questioning, why am I doing something? It's when you start to weaken. But the Bible says that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It is not our love, but God's love in us. The word love here, you could put God there. God never fails. Love never fails. It never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. Again, when do I stop loving an individual and believing for the individual? When do I stop praying for them? When do I throw in the towel? When do I give up? Never. It never stops. It never ends. It continues on. So, what does that tell me? It tells me that as a believer on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that the love that is in me needs to fight for what I believe in every single day of my life. And that's the war that I'm talking about. This next scripture will relate to many of us at any given time. And it's Psalms 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for you, that's God, is with me. Your rod that protects me and your staff that guides me, they comfort me all the days of my life. Who's felt like they've been in that shadow? Listen, some of you even maybe right now, some of you listening on Facebook, but each and every one of us can enter into this deep valley where there is no sun, where it's nothing but shade, where all it seems like is turmoil around us. It's like, why did I even get up today? Because it's just going to be another bad day. You know, you've already preset the stage because you've been so used to being put in a position where you're just constantly bombarded with issue after issue. But then we have to remember, wait, God loves me, and His love prevails forever. His love will never end. We look at Romans 8:38 that said, neither angels nor demons, powers or principalities, height nor depth, anything in all creation, nothing can separate me from the love of God. And when we start to think about these things, it's like, yes, I may be in that valley right now. I may be in this desert place, this wilderness. I may feel like I'm all alone. But in the process of that, God is there with you. He will never leave you. And this is where we gain strength, because He is with us. His rod is there to protect us. He's there to guide us and to comfort us. So yes, can we rejoice in the shadow? In the valley, you better believe it, because there's a way out, because it's not a boxed-in valley. You're not staying in the valley. You're moving through the valley. It is victory beyond victory. It's a good thing? A great thing? We have people pinching kids. So we talk about fear many times in Scripture. It's all throughout the Bible. And it makes you look at things. Here's a definition of fear, or what fear equates to, that I thought was really good. This isn't out of like Webster's or anything like that. And I can't remember where I heard it, but it was significant, and I wrote it down. I want to share with you today. A heightened sense of vulnerability plus a diminished sense of power equals fear. So when you put yourself in that place where you're vulnerable, and maybe you feel at your weakest point, that's where fear can creep in, right? Amen. It can happen to any one of us at any given time. Yes. When you feel like you're out of control, not in power, not in, control of that situation, fear creeps in. And so I asked the Lord again some questions. And I started to look, and I thought, I can't find anywhere in the Bible where it tells a Christian, say I'm a Christian, I can't find anywhere in the Bible where it says, run away, turn tail, be a coward, be filled with fear, be anxious, be depressed, be worried, be afraid. None of those are in Scripture written for a believer. None of those. Actually, it's quite the opposite than that. But we find ourselves as human beings running away, turning tail, being a coward, being filled with fear, being anxious, being depressed, being worried, and being afraid, don't we? I'm not asking for hands, but I know that people, to include myself, deal with these things at any given particular time, right? These things just happen. It's called life. But Jesus came to do what? Give us life more abundantly. I say these things kind of as a question to try and get us to think now and make sense of Scriptures that we've heard for years and years and years. So then I had to go to 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 7 in the Amplified. And it says, for though we walk or live in the flesh, we are not we're not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. Okay, we're not talking about going toe-to-toe, fist fighting, or whatever with a human being. For the weapons of our warfare, this is your warfare, say my warfare, are not physical. They're not weapons of the flesh and blood, but they are mighty. Say mighty. Before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Now listen, strongholds can be one of 50 different things. Strongholds can be the addiction that you're dealing with right now. Drugs, alcohol, cigarette smoking, food, whatever it is. It's a stronghold in your life. But guess what? The weapon of warfare that we have is mighty in God to overthrow that stronghold, whatever it is in your life. Amen. Don't ever sell yourself short and say, I can't do it. Because God has given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Right? Amen. I may say I can't do it in my own strength, but as I've heard in the past before, and I like this, I'm one-third God. Blasphemy! No, let me explain. My spirit, your spirit, is now filled with the Spirit of God. Yes or no? Yes. And so if we are body, soul, and spirit, a third of us is part of God. Amen? Amen. Think about it. Think about it. I can't do it. No, you can't, but the Spirit in you can. The Spirit in you can. And that Spirit that's in you is part of you. So when you say, tongue in cheek, I can't do it, you're denying the power of God. And what happens when you deny the power or you see a diminished power? You are in fear. But see, because we have the Spirit of God in us, we can fear not. Amen? Just trying to make this make sense. Verse 5, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasoning and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead, here we are, we lead every thought and purpose away captive, or we lead every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. Yes. Being in readiness to punish every disobedience. When your own submission and obedience are fully secured and complete, look at this obvious fact. Look at this obvious fact, people, which is before your eyes. If anyone is confident that he is Christ, if you're part of Christ, let him or her reflect and remind themselves that even as he is Christ, so are we too. Did I lose anybody?
Nope.
Back to taking every thought captive. Joyce Myers has a book out, Battlefield of the Mind. We're told not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. We're told to don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. How do you do all that? You take every thought that comes into your mind captive. So listen, if a thought comes in that says run away, take it captive and see what God would have you do. If a thought comes in and says turn tail, be a coward, be filled with fear, is that truly you? Listen, if you're born again, are you a child of fear or a child of God? Does God say be afraid? Only of him, but that's an awesomeness of fear. That's a reverence. That's a respect. A beautiful thing. Actually, this is what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors. The Bible tells us to run the race that is set before us. Not run away, but run the race that's set before us. Not go backwards, but ahead. Amen? Every day that we wake up to is a brand new day. God has given this day today as a gift. When you wake up tomorrow, he has given that day as a gift for you. You don't give up. Never give up. Never give in. Push onward and upward with strength from within. My mom had that. I've shared that before. I spiritualize it now because the strength that I have from within me is not my own heart, but is the Spirit of God. It says, the Bible says, don't worry. It says, don't worry about tomorrow. Today is sufficient enough. The Bible also says, be anxious for nothing. For nothing. Be anxious for nothing. The Bible also tells us that we have won the victory. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. We fight every day, but we're already victorious. To live is Christ, to die is gain. What does that mean? It means to live in this world, I live in the Spirit of God. And to die, I'm with God. Wow! Can you believe? Is that not? That's a win-win, correct?
Amen.
That's a win-win. I'm a simple person. My English isn't the best. I've just corrected it here and there. That goes out over the airwaves too. So whoever's in Europe or wherever and they're watching, that's just me. But I've won the victory, so I don't care. Bible also tells me and you that no weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Amen.
What does that mean? That word prosper. That means that it's not going to have an effect on you that will bear fruit. It's not going to affect you in a negative way. When we prosper in something, it means it's beautiful and beneficial. There's no weapon formed against us made by Satan that will prosper towards us. Bible also says, submit to God, resist the devil, and the devil will do what?
Flee.
Flee. That's not walk away. That's flee. That's like, wah! That's like, I'm afraid. Here's the deal. Many times as Christians, we always talk about Satan and his attacks against us. When are we going to take the attack to him? When are we going to be proactive as a Christian instead of reactive?
Amen.
When are you going to wake up in the morning, right, and say, you know what, this day is yours, Lord, and I am your servant, and I am ready and willing to go right now.
Amen.
I'm ready to set the stage
Amen.
Of you living in my life before everything. Lord, I ask you to use me on this day. Wherever my feet tread, your Spirit is with me. Yes or no? Yes, right? So wherever I go, the Spirit of God goes. So I have a choice. I can retreat back into the flesh and not walk in that manner, or I can step out in the faith of God that lives in me and walk in that manner, not retreating
Amen.
From anything.
Amen.
I went to a luncheon this week, and there was a gentleman that was speaking, and he is an outstanding individual who has accomplished a lot in his life, a millionaire. And this individual shared that he doesn't, to this day, and he's a senior, he doesn't know how to read or write. He's got 5 patents, a millionaire. And one thing that he said is that fear is like a seed, and you can tend to the seed of fear and watch it grow, or you can let that seed die out and leave it away and don't give it any nutrition. So we talk about seeds in the other way, right? We want to talk about seeds of righteousness and all that, sowing those. But fear is a seed too. And so when we sow fear and we plant it and we start to water fear, that grows in our life. And so one thing he said, listen, I don't know how to read, I don't know how to write, but anytime somebody asks me to do something, I do it. Even if I'm afraid and don't want to, because I don't want to water that seed of fear. So this individual, he was a professor at a university for 3 years, teaching on economics or something like that. He can't read or write. He steps out to do that. He's a professor. He was asked. He did not sign up for it. He was asked to be the professor by this university. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. And so we learn a lot from a senior. And the other thing is he walks with God.
Amen.
And he's learned all this because he has a relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So, as we go on, it also says, the Bible, we don't have the spirit of fear. Right? But power, love, and a sound mind. That's what you have from God. We don't have the spirit of fear. Why is that in there? Because fear debilitates. Fear stops people from taking that step forward. We don't have it, though. The third of us that is God is the thing that says, I have the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Talking about love and war. Back to 1 Corinthians 13. It says that faith, hope, and love, these three, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. So when you know who you are in Christ and you know the love that God has for you, wow, That right there is one of the most powerful weapons that you can ever have in doing warfare against powers and principalities on high, those demonic things. The Bible also says, be strong and courageous. Not on one occasion, but many occasions. And I pulled this fact out. This is in, if you're reading NIV Bible, do not be afraid. The words, do not be afraid, appear 70 times in the Bible. 70 times. And that word, do not be afraid, isn't a suggestion. The word do not be afraid is a command. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Fear not. Have no fear. They all mirror one another. You see, I believe that love and war are synonymous, meaning they go hand in hand, but by definition, they don't. By definition, love is just this extreme affection for something, right? And war is fighting, combat. So they're not really synonymous with one another. They don't really jive with one another. But being the simple person that I am, I had to think, okay, I love my wife. I will fight for her. Love and war. I love my children, my family. I will fight for them. Love and war. Why would I fight for them? Because I love them. Do you see what I'm saying? They go hand in hand in my book. As a veteran, I could have went to war. I didn't go to war. But I had the opportunity to go to war. Did I join because I wanted to go to war? No. Did I have the potential to go to war with 9 years of service? Yes. I joined because I loved my country. I joined because I loved my family. I joined because I wanted to protect the freedoms that we have as Americans. Love. But may have been carried out in war.
Good.
So, let me ask you this on this day. Do you have things, people in your life that you love? Aren't they worth fighting for?
Amen.
Love and war.
Yes.
And how do you fight for them? On your knees, man. On your knees. Pray. And I know that we find ourselves getting wisdom and understanding on how to do certain things when certain situations arise. But whatever the situation that arises, whatever it is, you still need to pray. That is our first line of defense. Because what did it say? It is mighty. When we pray to God, it is mighty. For pulling down strongholds, the weapons of our warfare are mighty for pulling down strongholds in our life when we apply them. He's given us the ability, right? I'm closing in this area, Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. And this is the scripture that most know as arming yourself. But it's profound when you read through it and you look at it. And it just so happens to start off with these words. As I said, this is my close. It starts in these words. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Weak in the Lord?
Yes.
Weak in the Lord? No. Strong. Strong in the Lord. How do you get strong in the Lord? By having a relationship with the Lord. If you're not talking to Daddy and you just believe he's there whenever he wants to be and you only go to him when you need him, he's still there, yes, but you have no relationship. It's kind of, what can I get? Was it Kennedy? It was Kennedy that said, ask not what you can do for your country, but ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country, right? Have that relationship with the America you live in. Well, what about having the same relationship with the God that you serve? The God that's given you salvation. The God that's given you breakthrough. The God that has heard your prayers even when you think he hasn't heard your prayers. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy armed soldier, which God supplies. All things have been given to us that pertain to life and godliness, that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, that's again, counting only with physical opponents, but against the powers and against the principalities of this world, rulers of this present darkness. That's what we're fighting against. Against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground. Did it say run? It said stand your ground so that you may be able to do it on that evil day. And having done all, the crisis demands to stand firmly in your place. Again, stand, therefore. Hold your ground. Comes a time and place where you stop giving in to the enemy. You know, there has to come a time and place in our lives where we say, no more. No more will you take from my family. No more will you take from my life. No more will you take those that once knew you and now have fallen away. No more.
Amen.
I'm drawing a line of demarcation. I say no more.
No more.
As for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord. And if it doesn't appear like they're serving the Lord, I'm going to pray even harder. I'm going to pray even more fervently. I'm going to pray without ceasing because I'm going to take the battle to God. And the Bible says the battle is His. Amen?
Amen.
So we make our requests known to Him, and He brings down all of heaven's armies, and He conquers the foe against us. We don't have to be afraid. You have issues going on in your house that are demonic? Take charge over it as a child of God. You now, since the day of Adam and Eve when they lost the battle against Satan in the garden, God has been trying to give dominion back to us. And He did it over 2,000 years ago on the cross. His name's Jesus Christ. And He now has given us the authority and the ability to take charge over the demonic things here, right now, today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Amen?
Amen.
You have a lot more capability than what sometimes you think you may have. There's nothing to be afraid of. I lost my spot. And having shod your feet, okay, so stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, and having put on the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude or righteousness, you have right standing with God. And having shod your feet with the preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace, lift up all the covering, the shield of saving faith, the shield of faith upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one.
Amen.
And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit.
Amen.
And wield it, which is the word of God. Use it. Use the word of God. Here you are. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. So, sometimes I believe people get battle weary. Not sometimes, many times people get battle weary. What I mean by that is they're just kind of tired of fighting. But if you can come to the realization that our battle is pretty easy when all we have to do is make our requests known to the Lord, and watch and see what He does. It's simple. You have not because you ask not. Seek and you shall find. Come on. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. Wow. He's right here with us each and every day of our lives. The love that he has for us is our weapon that helps us make it through. So stand your ground as a believer and fight the good fight of faith. Amen? Amen. In Jesus' name. Stand to your feet. Let's close in prayer. Please. Again, you're not here by accident. Everyone who made it out today, everybody who's listening to this, you're not here by accident. There's a purpose behind each and everything that the Lord does. I believe firmly that there's a reason why the Lord gave me this message to share today instead of something else. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your gifts that keep us strong. Father, I lift up everyone to you right now. And Lord, we stand with those who have been battling. And we are thankful, Father, for the breakthroughs that will be coming. I thank you, Father, that right now, even today, people that have heard this, Father, will find breakthrough today. Father, that your hand of mercy and grace that is so favorable upon the lives of your children, I thank you that it will restore the wasted places. I thank you, Father God, that those things that the enemy has taken away will be given back double fold, Father. Yes, double fold. Father, everything that has been stolen, it shall be returned and then some. Father, on this day, we give you all the praise and all the glory. Father, for those who have ran from you, Father, I pray that they would stop the running, that they would find love in you, and that they would surrender their life to you. Your word again, Lord, submit to you, resist the devil, and the devil flees. Father, I pray that those that don't know you would just come to you right now. And Father, that you would just fill them with your spirit. They would just ask for forgiveness of their sin. Father, and you've done it. You do it once and for all. Father, fill them up to overflowing. Father, as we carry out this week, I thank you. I thank you that you go with us everywhere we go. And I thank you, Lord, that we will be strong and courageous. That we, even if we find ourselves in that place where fear will start to creep in, we remind ourselves of your word that having done all, we will continue to stand. We will run the race before us. We will not back down. Father, I thank you for those who are willing to take the fight to the enemy, Satan and all his hordes. And I thank you, Lord, that all of heaven's armies are there defending us, even in the unseen realm right now. In Jesus' glorious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, altars are open. Have a beautiful week.